Okay, here we are. Chayisara, Tavshin Pei Aleph, Eishes Chayo. Now, I'm not suggesting that everything we're going to discuss tonight is a definitive perush. Do we ever know what the pshat is, the perush? There are many different perushim. But I tried to collect a bit from different sources here. Anishas Chayil, why? So as we'll see shortly, Anishas Chayil has a particular import for this week. As a means of having done something, I think that's very crucial. The Gemara in Brachos says, G'dola avtocha shivtichon HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'nashim yoseh min ha'nashim. Great is the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to women with regard to the world to come than to men. And the different ways of explaining it. Maharal has a perush here, etc. But the Iyun Yaakov, the Raisha Rav, the Chok Yaakov on Shulchan Aruch, says that the understanding is because Godol HaMa'aseh yoseh min ha'oseh. In other words, the one who enabled one else into doing a proper act, for instance, the person who is voluntarily collecting tzedakah, and he's sincere in his efforts, then he actually receives more schar than we do when we give him the tzedakah, because he energized us. He's the ma'aseh, and we are the osim. Godol ha-ma'aseh osim min ha-oseh. Says the Iyun Yaakov, that's the perush of this Gemara in Brachos, that the greater is the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to women than that which he made to men, because women are the great enablers of the Jewish world. They make it possible. Again, this is not coming to detract from their own successes as the realm is of Osos as well. That's not the discussion. The discussion is in their variegated roles. The role of being the enablers of the Jewish nation is what entitles them to this statement that greater is the promise that Hashem made to women than that which he made to men. Okay. Medrash Tanchuma opens up our Parsha and says, Zeo Shomer HaKosov Eish Yischayel Ateres Balo Pasuk Mishlei Yud Beis Ze Avram Shehayim Mekonen Al Sora. Avram mourned, gave expression to his mourning over Sarah after Ptira, Maksiv Lamala Mina Inan Vatoma Sara, Hiskal Avram Livkos Alea Veloma Ashis Chayil Miyimtsa. So the Medrash Tanchuma says that Avram Avinu said Ashis Chayil at the Levaya of Sarah. So Akedis Yitzchok actually has a very long discussion over here, and he says that an Eish Yischayel, a wife whose attitude towards this world, the temporal world around, what is her focus? Is her focus in the more physical realm? Is her focus in the more spiritual realm? She transforms her family, she transforms her husband, she transforms his entire worldview. So now let's take a look. The Akedah, as I said, the Akedah Yitzchok goes through the entire Eish Yischayel. Again, we're not use his parish on everything, but he says over here the idea of Eish Yischayel miyimtsa v'rochok mipnini michra. She's not found by chance, this Eish Yischayel. What is an Eish Yischayel? Eish Yischayel is a woman of valor, a woman who has collected many different qualities, and through that she has a very clear vision of the world and how she wants her family to be in that world, how she wants to be in that world, etc., and she sets the tone. At any event, she can either be found, smatzia, the rochok mipnini michra, and you cannot find all the money in the world to purchase her. It has to be a matnas elokim. So says the Akedah Yitzchok. Then these are rhetorical questions. Miyimtsa, can you find her? Barachov and Panina Michu, you can't purchase her, right? It's a matana min shamayim. Botach bole vala v'shalolo yechsar gemlasu tov v'lora kol yimei chayel. So Shemi Shmuel says that this Batach Lev Bala, her husband places trust in her, and he will not be missing any shalol, any gain. It's very interesting. It says the Shemi Shmuel that this is referring to Sarah's experience in the house of Paro. Avram was concerned that if he revealed that Sarah was his wife, that he would be found floating upside down in cement overshoes in the Nile. Instead, he said, please say that you're my sister. And he knew that the possibility was that she would be taken to the palace of Paro, but he had trust in her, that she would resist all temptation. She would resist all temptation. And she did. Not only that, but there was Paro gave them gifts, as it were, in recognition of the Avram, of Sarah, right? He didn't try to rescind those gifts afterwards. Go, I don't want you in my land any longer, but the gifts were gifts. He didn't take them back, etc. So they benefited from what potentially could have been a disaster, but because Avram had such incredible trust in her, why? Because Sarah was that type of person that you could count on under all circumstances. She was a menace. In a situation where Ra could have come out of it, but because Avram's Batach Lev Bala came out of it only Tov, and it became, as it were, Ma'aseh Simin LaBanim, that later on when the Jewish people would leave Egypt, they would extract, right? They would transform, they would take whatever the good of Mitzrayim was, they would take it out with them. Darshat Semer Ufishtim. This already is a different quality of Sarah. She's able to, right, as it were, differentiate Darshat Semer Ufishtim Atas Bechefetz Kapeha. Says the Medrash that, and the Shem Shmuel comments on this, Darshat Semer Ufishtim Ben Yitzchak Lishmael. Ben Yitzchak Lishmael. In other words, she recognized that Yishmael would be a bad influence, perhaps a deadly influence, on Yitzchak. And she insisted that Avram, right, send Yishmael away. Difficult decision, very hard for Avram, because Baruch Hu tells Avram, listen to the voice of Sarah. She knows how to differentiate, she knows how to separate Semer and Pishtim. They shouldn't mix together. We know that Semer and Pishtim, wool and linen together, are shotness. They're not a non-permissible combination. She was able to differentiate that. Vatas bechefetz kapeha. In other words, her intuition was such, this is not good. This is not good that Yishmael stay around. Vatas bechefetz kapeha. The Mefarshim point out here, once again, the Shem Yishmael points out, that the Tamim in Vatas bechefetz kapeha have Batas, the chepitz kapeh. She does the chepitz, the rotzim of her kapayim. The rotzim of her hands. But in other words, once a person has accustomed himself, right, has accustomed himself to conducting himself a certain way, it becomes, as it were, second nature that his body, like, just like what he called, just like Chazal bring down, the David HaMelech says that, you know, wherever I wanted to go, my feet, as it were, took me to the Beis HaMedrash. In other words, once a person has habituated himself to a certain conduct, then his very being, his physical being, as it were, is programmed to do that which is correct, that which he's accustomed himself to. Right, Chishav Tidrachai, David HaMelech says, "Vashiva Ragle Elid Vasecha, V'Chol Yom Ani Mechashiv L'Mokam Ploni Ani Olech V'Yuragli Mevius V'Sidem Batei Knesis V'Batei Medrashos." Again, that's the discussion itself, what it means over there by David. But the idea being, the simple understanding is that she has become so ingrained with a proper sort of conduct that her kapayim, her hands, automatically do what's that which is correct. Again, this is to her credit, because she's the one who trained herself that way. Haisa Kaniel Socher Mimercha Tovi Lachma. Just like it sees, just like the what do you call it, the ships travel high seas, out of places you never would have expected that there'd be any benefit for Avram and for Sarah out of it. All of a sudden, they walk out of Mitzrayim with the gifts of Paro. They walk out of the house of Avimelech with gifts that are given in a more mechuban fashion. From there, why? They recall they were respected. They were respected. In the case of Paro, it wasn't initially given out of respect, but it wasn't taken back because of respect. It was given initially because he thought he was taking Sarah as a wife, but he realized afterwards that was a mistake. But it wasn't taken back because he understood who Avram and Sarah were. With regard to Avimelech, the very giving, it was indicative of the respect that he felt, that he saw that he was able, well, that he was dealing with people who were marching the beat of a different drummer. Chazal say that Sarah got up the morning of the Akedah. She realized that Avram was leaving early with Yitzchak. She didn't realize they were going to the Akedah. She thought he was taking him perhaps to the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Aver to learn there. He was going for this. So she got up early in order to escort them. The idea of escorting someone, the mitzvah of Achila, right? Shchivo or Shtia and Levaya, escorting someone, Eshel, that we know that a person, when you have a guest, feed him, give him to drink, or give him a place to sleep. Whatever the shin means, does it mean shtia or does it mean shiva, place to rest, and levaya, an escort. Because when you escort a person, you show that you're chashivus for that person. That itself, that expression of your showing your value for the person, that stands in the person's stead. It creates, as it were, a malach that escorts him as well. So even though she thought she was just escorting them in the morning to be able to go to the basement of Sheva Aver, and Yitzchak Babson was going away for who knows how long, years. But in fact, right, without her even realizing it, she was escorting them to the Akedah. And though the Satan tried to block their way in all different manners and fashions, Satan, right? But the fact that she escorted them, that gave them an added benefit, that gave them an added plus to be able, as it were, to overcome the temptation of the Satan. We know that on the way to that Akedah, the Satan appeared, first in the river, trying to make it impossible from the past. They came into the water up to the neck. Avram says, Kibo Maimad Nafesh, Hashem, if either Yitzchak or I drown, we won't be able to fill your Ratzon. Right? That leaves them. And then the Satan appears as a Zakein. He comes to Avram. He comes to Avram and he says, where are you going? I'm going to be over Hashem. And he says, you're going to undo all your work. You're going to shech your son. What's the matter with you? Don't you realize you're going to be destroying what he called all your life's work? Is this fair on the part of the Creator that he should do this to you? Do you think that's fair? Do you think that's cruel? Don't you think that's cruel? Don't you think that's an abuse of your trust in him? Avram ignores him. He says, Yitzchak, You're a young man. You have life, a whole life in front of you. You can let your father turn you into what he called into lamb chops. He says, turns to Avram, this guy's bothering me. Right? Avram says, ignore him. Part of the strength, right, that they received was because Sarah escorted them, even though she didn't know what she was escorting them to. She thought she was escorting them to something completely different. But the escort shows the chashivus, and that's what protects the person. It creates an aura around them that they are valuable, that they are, right, worthy of Hashem's divine protection. Now we come to a very strange pasuk. Zomama sadeva tikacheu. This is the Medrash, is a reference to the purchase of Maras Rachela. She planned the sadeva tikacheu and bought it mipri chapea nata korim. And from the handiwork of her hands, she planted a vineyard. What are we talking about here? Zomama sadeva tikacheu. She purchased Maras Machpela. says the Shemi Shmuel, he brings from the Zohar, etc., the idea that Sarah, right, Sarah's perspective on life was, as we see, is that there should never be any admixture between good and evil. She was very diligent to make sure that evil never tainted the good. That's how she was able to ward off Paro's advances, right? Because she was so committed that she would not succumb to his entreaties, so therefore she received divine help. So the Malach came and blocked Paro from anything, because that's what she wanted so desperately. She didn't want, right, evil to taint good. She was able to recognize that the presence of Ishmael in the house of their house would be detrimental to Yitzchak, warded off. In other words, she took all of the desire, and the Mefarshim say that was the Arbamos Shekel Kesef, right? Kesef, money, but Kesef is also a lesson of Kisufim, of desire. Avram paid 400 shekels of Kesef because ultimately there will be 400 levels of desire to be connected to Hashem. And he paid for that. In other words, he was able, as it were, to show that he had no regard for the desire of this world. And that's what enabled him to spend the 400 shekel kesef to give to Ephron in order for the rights to buy the Maras HaMachpelah. Because the Maras HaMachpelah was the gateway to Gan Eden, Chazal say. Says the Shem Yishmuel, based upon the Zohar, that Sarah, because that was her whole world view, was to yearn for that Kirvas Hashem, and never to allow evil to taint, right, her desire to come close to Hashem. She was the one who laid the foundation, which afterwards enabled Avraham, he says a fascinating thing here, to be willing to sacrifice his son Yitzchak, which is the most precious thing to him in this world. But because Sarah, as it were, set a tone in the house of what she wanted for the house, what she wanted was only Kirvas Elokim, the closest to Hashem. So that became the foundation upon which Avram now was willing to sacrifice Yitzchak. And after he'd been willing to give up the most precious thing, the thing that he's most kosef, that he most desired in this world, he now had the ability to purchase the entranceway to Gan Eden, the Maras HaMachpelah. So in that sense, her planning, Zamama Sadeva Tikacheo, she planned, right, to purchase the Sadeh, and she indeed purchased it. Sarah purchased it. It was purchased after she died. But the foundation that she laid, once again, she created an ambience in the house that strengthened even Avram. Fascinating. Fascinating. Tama kitov sachra o chagrab oznasneha matam yitzvah seha. Right? Medrash says an interesting thing. Chagrab oznasneha. Amasai, when did this take place? She girded her loins. Matam yitzvah seha, she strengthened her hands. Chagrab oznasneha. Amasai kishuboa malachim shenemar vayamaya Avram ha'ola el sara. He told her, Mahari, right, quickly prepare the meal for our guests. It's a funny thing. What is this? She girded her loins, and the fact is that she strengthens her arms. Can you imagine what's happening to Sarah right now? Can you imagine? First of all, she is just transformed into a young woman now. What's going on? I mean, can you imagine the upheaval inside of her? The fact that she was capable of she pierced Anita, all of a sudden she was, quote, her menstrual cycle returned to her. She's an old woman. No, but I have to take care of the orchid. The fact that she wasn't able to provide them with the bread because it became tummy, but can you imagine the upheaval over here? But not only that, we know at this time that when she heard the Besorah, She laughed. And Hashem says to Avram, Lama tzachaka Sarah? Why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah says, Lo tzachakti. I didn't laugh. She's afraid. And the Kishbuk says, Lo tzachaki tzachakt. You did laugh. So Tzorak HaKoyin says, Sorry, Menu? She's lying? She says she didn't laugh. Hashem says, Oh, you did laugh? I mean, what's going on? She says that what she meant was, I didn't laugh at you, Hashem. I didn't laugh at you, Hashem. I laughed at myself. Because if I thought I weren't worthy until now to bear a son for Avram, and now at this advanced age, even though she was physically young again, but she says, how could it be? How could it be? How could it be? How could I be worthy? Even if I am physically young again, that's not the issue. The issue wasn't my youth. Because when I was young, I didn't bear him a child. I wasn't worthy. I wasn't worthy. So she laughed at herself. Hashem says, don't laugh at yourself. When you laugh at yourself, you're laughing at me. Because that means I don't know where you are. I don't know what your strength is. I don't know what your abilities are. I don't know your tests. I don't know your hurdles. Don't laugh at yourself. You laugh at yourself. You're laughing at me. So imagine what sort of upheaval she's going through. And yet, she's there for the guests. We have to do it. We have to do it. Chagra ba'ozna smena. She girds her loins. Batame zor sen. She strengthens her hands. Imagine upheaval. Upheaval. Tama ki tov sachra lo yich ba balayla neira. Tama ki tov sachra. Medrash says, Kishubo aleim amlochim dechsi v'yachalik aleim laila. Right? Tama, her dibur. Kitov sachra. Right? Lo yichbo v'laila neira. In the midst of night, her neir, her candle doesn't go out. What does that mean? Avram, Tvashim say, Tvashemis says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged for Avram to, as it were, be involved in the war in Parshas Lech Lecha with the Dal Melachim, with the four kings. And he needed, as it were, to be violent in that war. And the Sfas Emes says, in this way Hashem was showing Avram that your Midah of Chesed needs to have structure to it. You can't be good even to evil people sometimes. You can't. Sometimes you need to be able to show strength and overcome them in the case of these Dal Melachim. And that was what Hashem said to him afterwards, Anochi Magen Lecha. This is the way that I'm protecting you, Avram. And as this war was arranged, right, if not exclusively, but primarily, in order to teach you there have to be limitations to your chesed. Here, you're dealing with evil people. You need to be, as it were, strong with them. People will die at your hand. This is how I'm showing you. I'm directing you. I'm informing you that you need to give structure to your midas chesed. But all this time, even though he's involved in din, it's not like Sarah's out there on the bulwark screaming, kill him, kill him. She continues her derech. She continues her style, her chesed, her influencing people. She doesn't need to learn the lesson. The fact is, we know that Sarah didn't need to learn the lesson because she had the capacity to send away Yishmael when he felt she felt he was going to be a bad influence on Yitzchak, etc. She continues. In the midst of darkness, which Avram didn't necessarily understand, why do I have to be forced in the situation of fighting and even killing people? Sarah continues. She continues. She's consistent. Yadeh Ashilcha Vakisha Vechapeh Tamku Folech Kapa Porsel Aniv Yadeh Ashilcha Lo Evyom. Says the Malbim. Yadeh Ashilcha Vakishor. Kishor is a large beam of wood. Shelav Osrim and Esorim Bekela. They would tie prisoners to such a piece of wood. Right? Utsion hachomer ha'av ha'osro machmir ala nefesh. Sorrow would influence those people who were caught up in physicality. They looked at her, they looked at her example, they looked at her worldview. Tishlach bo yadea polos mitzvos amasim tovim. Right? Shebom tizachek es achomer v'tatir asurav. They looked at her, they looked at her example, they looked at the purity of the way she lived her life, the selflessness, the way she lived her life, her non-preoccupation with the physical world, but only the rutzen to give to others, to do chesed, right, to have her sights clear. She unfettered them. She untied the people who were bound up to the kishur of life, to the beam which you tie prisoners to, but here people were tied by a world of preoccupation with physicality. The chaper tamchufalech, right? She said, as it were, she was able to lift up tamchufalech. The Gros says palech is Rosh Tevos. For those people, as it were, who've got a crooked way of looking at the world. The petty, the fool, the lates, the scoffer, the kseel, once again. Pei, lamed, chaf, pelach. These are the people who don't accept, right, the direction of the Torah. But Sarah was able to influence them. She was tamchu falach. She was able, as it were, to bring up these people. Kappa parsley ani, v'adela shilchul evyon, whether they were spiritually in need or physically in need, she was there for everybody. She was there for everybody, either by word or by deed, by example. Lo sira levesa misholeg kichol beisolavush shanim. Her house doesn't have to fear misholeg from snow. Kichol beisolavush shanim. For her house is always dressed right in record, in beautiful crimson clothing, etc. What does that mean? So as again, the Mefarshim say, the Pitzadik says, Sheleg, the Gra tells us the truth is, the Gehenim has, what do you call it, has two components to it, both fire, and that's to combat the to burn away, as it were, the sins of Taiva and Gaiva and Kinna. But then there's another sin of Yeush. A person gives up and he has no energy left. Right? The Krirus, he becomes cold. Sheleg is the tikkun for that. She's always there producing her energy. She never allows herself, as it were, to fall into spiritual, physical, or somnolence. You know, just, I'm asleep, I'm pretty quiet, I have no koch, ainli koch, as they say in the modern jargon, ainli koch. That was verboten. That was a phrase that to her was antithetical to life. She prepares beautiful clothing, says the Medrash, is referring to Bigdei Kahuna. Right? Right? Bigdei Kahuna. In other words, the example that she sets is an example. The path that she paves is a preparation for what's going to come from her, the future, her children, the Kohanim, right? The Israelim as well. Is a reference to the kerem, to the vineyard of Beis Yisrael, right, that we saw earlier. The Jewish people will come from the Sara. The Kohanim, those who be those who serve Hashem, will come from the Sara. Noda basharim bala b'shiv toiv ziknei aretz. Our husband will be known, right, as he sits amongst the wise men. But who enabled him? Who was the grand enabler? The Ishastaya. Sarah. It's an amazing thing. Sadin Asavatim Kovachago Nasan Laklani, she's willing to sacrifice, to sell right? Even the basics that perhaps he might need in the house in order to maintain the life that she wants to keep. But in the end, Oz v'hodor levusha v'tishak l'gol machron. In this world, you see her glory, Oz v'hodor levusha v'tishak l'gol machron, and in the next world, for certain, you'll see her glory. Once again, turn over here to Rav Yonasan Eibshitz. The act on her part, when she told Avram, take Hagar as a wife. He suggests several different possibilities as to why she said that. Either because she was concerned that perhaps there was a Gzeres Misa on them. And that's why they couldn't have children, because one who has no children is, God forbid, has only been deprived of life. And so she was willing to take the busha of giving her maidservant Hagar to Avram, her husband, as a wife. That was her wisdom. Besoras chesed al lashona. Lishma. Toras chesed. Chazal tell us that Toras chesed is the Torah. Not chesed, a Torah that is pure, that gives to others. Here she was willing to sacrifice. Nothing more difficult than a woman inviting someone else to be a tzara. That's what the second wife is called, to a tzara, to the first, into her own house. She invites her in because she thinks that will bring about, right, her ability to bring a child into the world for Avram. It's a giving. It's one born out of sacrifice. She opens her mouth, the Chachma. Or perhaps Rav Yonasan Eibshitz suggests she realized that the first son of Avram, because as Chazal teaches, the first three generations, the uncleanliness had not left our forefathers. And as such, from Avram had to come Ishmael, from Yitzchak had to come an Esav, in addition to the holy children. Only Yaakov, Mitasa Shlema. And she said, maybe this is the way it has to be. Hashem is keeping us barren because he won't bring such a child like that from the two of us together. So I have to make the hard choice. I'll bring another woman into the house. Hagar, who's from Mitzrayim, she'll be the conduit of bringing Yishmael into the world. And then we can bring Yitzchak into the world. Pia Pascha v'chachma v'soras chesed al ashona. Sacrifice. Sofia lichos beisav lechem atzus lo sochel. She sees the ways of her house. In other words, even after she leaves this world, her instruction, her model, her qualities escort her children. Lechem atzos lo sochel. She never, never, as it were, gave up. Always further, 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 further. Never stopping. And because of that, even after she's gone, says the Imri Emes, her example sets a model of don't stop, don't give up. Right? Her children, the children she raised, the children that come from her, her husband, they are her praise. Rabos banosa sukhayo atalisa kulana. Many women have had individual qualities, but you, Sarah, you rolled them all up into one person. You became the foundation. You became the canvas upon which the exquisite portrait of Klal Yisrael will be painted. Sheker achein vehevla yofi ishe yiras Hashem hitis halol. There's no point praising a woman because of her grace or because of her beauty. Those are gifts from Hashem. Yer Shamayim, like we know, HaKol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Mi Yer Shamayim. Everything in this world, your smarts, your looks, your bank account, is all Min HaShamayim, Chutz Mi Yer Shamayim. Yer Isha Yiras Hashem, Itis Halol. Tnu La Mi Pri Yadeh, what can you give her? What praise can you give her? Yahalu b'shari ma'aseha, her deeds, talk about her deeds, her actions, her choices, right? Those are her praise. All of this, says the Medrash, is the way that Avram praised his wife Sarah. She was the quintessential Esh Yischiel. And he points out in so many different fashions how her steadfastness, how her commitment, how her focus, how her chesed, how her industry set the tone from which his house was built. And so is the word, so matim, it's so appropriate, that this is the elegy that he speaks out as he buries her in the Maras Machpelah. Because she set that tone, and as we mentioned before, that enabled Avram, right, to also be able to make the sacrifice of the most precious thing to, in him to the world, which was Yitzchak. Her constant life of sacrifice gave him the capacity also to make that sacrifice, and now he felt he had the ability to purchase the Maras Machpelah, the gateway to Gan Eden. Because Sarah was always at Pesach HaOhel, she was always there in the Ohel, as it were, right? In this world, but her focus was so clear not to be caught up in the allure of this world. She's in this world, she's involved, she's being mashpia on people through her example, through her chesed, etc. She's a clear focus of the way the world should be, a focus of how her home should be, right? No mixtures of evil and good over here, not to succumb to this temptation, mitzad sheni, to make sure that if Yisrael is going to influence Yitzchak badly, he can no longer stay in the house. All of that, right, is living in this world with an eye towards the world of truth. So therefore, now Avram has the capacity, as Sarah leaves the world, he has received the ability now to purchase the gateway to Gan Eden. The gateway to Gan Eden. His wife gave him the capacity to purchase the gateway to Gan Eden. Zama la sadeh vatika chil. Her plan, right, to purchase the field, right, and she acquired it. And we said, she didn't acquire it, Avram did. She laid the foundation for this. Esh Yischiel, Esh Yischiel. The story of Sarimenu, and the story of Jewish women throughout the generation. That's why we sing it on Little Shabbos. Jamie Shmuel says, because that's when we set our priorities correct also. We leave behind our preoccupations, our, as it were, our desires for the temporal world, and we enter into the world of Shabbos, hopefully with a clarity of vision of what we really want out of life, that clarity of vision of what to desire out of our stay here in the prose door called Olam Hazeh. What do we really want out of it? That's the story of Esh Yischiel. That's the story of Sarimenu. Okay. I hope this enhances in some manner, shape, or form the way you say Esh Yischiel. And like I said, to say this is the only explanation of psukim, that's ridiculous. But I think in the context of what the Medrash says that Avram used it as an elegy, as a hesped, a eulogy for Sarah, I think it's useful. Okay, have a great Shabbos. Be well.